My guest today is congressional candidate Lauren Boebert. Thanks for speaking with KVNF.
Thanks so much for having me on, Gavin.
I want to ask you about an early endorsement during your primary campaign against incumbent Congressman Scott Tipton. Lou Valerio, who's been the sheriff in Garfield County where you live for two decades, wrote in May, quote, "As for my support of Ms. Boebert, I was the first sheriff she asked for an endorsement of her campaign for Congress, and without hesitation, I gladly did, knowing I was bucking the mainstream party," end quote. Why was his endorsement significant for you early on in your campaign?
This is so significant because he is my hometown sheriff, and I counseled women in his jail for 7 years. So if there's anyone who knows my character, it's my hometown sheriff, Lou Valerio. I counseled at-risk women for nearly 7 years, and it was a great time in my life. These women were without hope and for a successful future. They felt that they had ruined their lives, and they were at very low points in their life. But I had an opportunity to come in there and meet them right where they were. And through my faith, I had an opportunity to introduce them into the God who could turn their shame into glory, who could restore whatever their past looked like, and then lead and guide and launch them into a successful future. I was able to bring these women into my home where they lived with my family. I had the opportunity to show them compassion and even offer some of them jobs and create opportunities for them to have a fresh start at life. And so it was very rewarding to be in that situation. I'm very grateful that they have such a tremendous inmate program there at the Garfield County Jail. So people can get connected and they have someone to look to when they get out. So they can stay on track for success. It actually came in handy because this endorsement, because my opponent, unfortunately, has been lying about me and trying to paint me as a criminal. I've had a $100 traffic ticket that had a failure to appear, and we ended up getting a pretty little mugshot out of that. But with that, and then I had an altercation in Grand Junction where I was just standing up for somebody that I didn't know, and making sure she knew her rights in a situation where I didn't see that she was being treated completely fairly. And that case was dismissed. And so, to have my sheriff look at my record and say, "No, we're still good here." this is a member of our community who actually cares about the people who live here and is doing things to create opportunities for them to have a successful future.
So talk about why you admire Donald Trump and what it was like to meet the president in person during his rally at Mount Rushmore on the 4th of July.
So I have been a supporter of President Donald Trump when he was just candidate Donald Trump. When he first announced, I was very excited. I was intrigued, really, because we had someone who was not a politician stand up. Now, I'm not a politician. I just got fed up. And I think that's what happened with President Donald Trump as well. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's a family man. He loves America and he loves our country. And he's been entangled in these spheres of influence, and he sees the corruption and he wanted to do something about it, to stand up for the common man here in America and those forgotten voters. He reached out to us and said, "You're forgotten no more." And he's really pioneered the way for people like me to step up and serve my country, where anyone else would say, "You're not qualified. You don't have a political science degree or anything fancy like that." And say, "You haven't worked your way up. You haven't earned your keep here. It's not your turn." He's really pioneered the way and made it possible for us to step up and serve. And I had the honor to first speak with him on the phone right after our primary victory, June 30th. And then he invited my family and I to Mount Rushmore, where I was able to meet he and Melania, and it was incredible. They are exactly like you would think. They are genuine, wonderful people, and just they look you in the eye when they communicate with you and really try to make a connection. And that connection is very real. He cares about the people in Colorado's 3rd District. He was asking about us. He was asking about our public lands, about the Jordan Cove pipeline. He was asking about the BLM headquarters that's in Mesa County. He said, "Hey, we got the BLM headquarters moved to your district. Isn't that cool?" I was like, "Yeah, it is." So I'm just really grateful that he has laid so much on the line to serve our country. He didn't have to do this. What he and his family have gone through is remarkable. And we see how the media attacks him. And I see it even at a local level, locally. We have the same thing going on with media and the stories that are just extremely skewed. I'm not a victim by any means. I get it. But I like that President Trump has actually highlighted this. And people are kind of waking up to not everything you read in print is true.
So the map of Colorado's 3rd Congressional District is vast, of course, covering much of rural Colorado cities, including Pueblo, Grand Junction, Montrose, Durango, Steamboat, Glenwood, Rifle, Delta. There are more registered Republicans than Democrats in the 3rd District, and there are more independents than either. You've electrified the Republican base after upsetting Scott Tipton in the primary. Why should an undecided independent who wants to send someone to Washington to solve problems choose you over your opponent?
Well, because I'm for the economy and I'm actually for the people. So my opponent has been attacking me personally because she can't win on policy. Her policies destroy our economy. They kill our jobs and bankrupt our country. That's not something that we can proudly stand for by any means. We are more than 80% federal lands here. We have some of the cleanest energy resources that this world has to offer, and we can extract it more responsibly than anyone else in the world. Our guys do a great job at it. We have the Jordan Cove pipeline that we could export our clean liquid natural gas to these countries who are currently dependent on communist dictators for their energy. And my opponent wants to side with Iranian terrorists and outsource our energy to China and Africa, where we know that child and slave labor is often used. So this Jordan Cove pipeline that she refuses to support would create international markets, and it would affect us right here at home and bring high-paying jobs here and help support the small businesses that are throughout this very large district. We have 29 counties here in this district, 52,000 square miles. It's incredible, and I have been traveling every bit of it. And I'll tell you, that sure beats hanging out in the basement. I have been connecting with the people each and every day, hearing from them, and working on plans on how I could effectively represent them. I want to represent the issues that they are bringing to my attention when I'm in D.C., and I want to bring more of Colorado values to D.C. and get more of D.C. out of Colorado. And so I've been traveling all over. I've been in Pueblo talking with the steel workers, and these guys are incredible. They saw that my opponent was endorsed by the National Steelworkers Union, and they called my campaign when they saw that, and they said, we can have a strong union all day long, but if we don't have an industry to go to work in, what good does our union do? We know that your opponent's policies would kill our industry. There are hundreds of steelworkers laid off right now. These are the guys who create, they build our pipes for fracking. And they build the casing so we can have a secure well when we're drilling this natural gas. And their jobs are very essential, and they are essential workers. And instead, my opponent has a work to welfare program where she would retrain them through a government program to do something else. But that's not what these guys are wanting. They want to get to work. So in the primary election, we saw record numbers and unaffiliated voters show up for the Republican ticket to cast their votes for me. And I believe we're going to see that again. The Democrat Party, the platform that they are putting forth right now is really discouraging a lot of people from voting for Democrats. They want to defund our police officers, disband, dismantle, dissolve these agencies. And they're not condemning the riots and the looting that's taking place or by Antifa or other groups that are out there that are just destroying small businesses that barely even made it through a pandemic. We see reporters standing in front of burning businesses saying this is mostly peaceful. And it's really deceptive. But I think that people are looking at the Democrat platform, how far they'll go with a $93 trillion Green New Deal, with universal health care and open borders
I want to ask you, Lauren, do you mind if I just jump in with a couple more questions? Thank you. I know you're fired up. In terms of COVID, you mentioned the response there. Can you talk about your views on the handling of the coronavirus by President Trump at the national level in contrast with your views on the response by Governor Polis at the state level? Does that make sense?
Well, I think originally the advice that we got about washing our hands and avoiding touching our faces was really great advice. Practice good hygiene. I really respect that President Trump acted quickly in closing our borders and restricting some travel so we could kind of keep the virus out. He acted very quickly in that. And I really respect that he was bringing federalism back to the table and allowing the states to decide. I don't agree with all of the states' decisions, but President Trump left that in the governor's hands. And Governor Jared Polis, I think he took it too far, shutting down small businesses and saying who was essential and who was not, while big box stores were able to remain open and the small businesses had to shut down. And businesses need to open in a responsible way. And that's why I stood up to Governor Jared Polis. I reopened my business when I saw him bragging to President Trump that he was reopening Colorado, when I saw neighboring Mesa County opening their county up. I followed CDC guidelines, and I responsibly opened my doors. And I wasn't going to wait for bureaucrats to give me an arbitrary opening date. I did lose my license for about a week, but the city of Rifle came in and thanked me for that. And they said, we're grateful that you threaded this needle so our county could actually open up sooner than we would have. And then they came and built patios outside of the restaurant. And this is what government's supposed to look like, working with the people to find sensible solutions. So I don't agree with everything that the Governor Jared Polis has done. I think that people are tired of the criticism towards churches or Republicans, and yet watch Nancy Pelosi, you know, run around with her mask and breaking the rules that she's making everyone else follow.
So speaking of Pelosi, Lauren, if you were in Congress this year, would you have voted for the CARES Act? Why or why not?
I would have stood up to make stronger amendments. I respect Representative Thomas Massie, and he was there kind of sounding the alarm on some key issues. And everyone was telling him just sit back and be quiet. And then soon after that, we all had the same talking points as Representative Massie. And so I would have loved to have been there to have fought to send President Trump a better bill. You know, and now here we are at this next stimulus package, and there's all this fighting that's taking place, and it's really been politicized. Nancy Pelosi refuses to even communicate with the president, and it's kind of an all-or-nothing approach. I would love to see germaneness in a bill for a CARES Act, for a stimulus package. Let's stick to the topic. The Kennedy Center doesn't need millions of dollars when we're trying to take care of the American people who have lost their jobs and businesses through no fault of their own. Let's stick to the topic. This should have been a single issue bill that took care of people who were suffering from this pandemic. And I just think that we need more people standing up and giving voice to the American people. And I think the best stimulus package is getting America open for business again.
So a couple more quick policy questions. Do you have just a few more minutes?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Okay, so on jobs, let's do these pretty quickly here. Give us one example of a policy goal of yours once you get to Washington to help create new jobs on the western slope of Colorado.
Well, I would bring old jobs back. So energy is huge for me and my platform. You know, Republicans really get a bad rap when it comes to the environment, and that's not really fair. I want clean water. I want a clean environment, clean air. And like I said before, if we want these resources extracted responsibly, it needs to be done right here at home. So we could bring these high-paying jobs right back to our district. And, you know, there really is a moral case for fossil fuels. We see these coal-fired energy plants that are shutting down, the coal mines that are shutting down, and people who've worked here for a dozen years or more. And now they're being told that the government will train them to do something else, train them to be a plumber in Craig, Colorado, or in Nucla, Colorado. Well, I think Nucla and Craig kind of have all the plumbers that they need. And so what we're seeing is families being separated because dad goes and works somewhere else to pay the bills. And then mom has to get a job and isn't able to stay home anymore. But, you know, I am a job creator. I'm a small business owner. And I know that our entire economy needs to be thriving. And our energy industry helps that. I know that things are going really well in my restaurant when there's mud on the floor. When I have to clean mud up on the floor, that means we're doing good because the guys are coming in from the field after a long, hard day's work. They're bringing their families in after they've been working and enjoying a meal in my restaurant and stimulating the economy and creating jobs. My opponent's not a job creator. You know, I have an undergraduate and a master's degree in business, and I've never paid a college tuition. I've never gone to college for it, but I have the experiences of it. And that's how you learn. That's how you learn to create jobs and run a business, is through that experience. Have I done it all right? No. Am I going to do it all right? No. But I'm still going. I've never had to lay my employees off because of financial distress. They come first. You know, if there's other things that I have to take care of, my employees come first. And we always make a way to keep them there and take care of them. And, you know, that's a quality that I can't wait to take to Congress.
A couple more.
Knowing that I have to put the American people first.
A couple more quick questions on energy. The United States directly subsidizes fossil fuel industries, over $20 billion per year, about 20% allocated to coal and 80% to natural gas and crude oil. Do you support this use of taxpayer money? Obviously, those are parts of your energy proposal.
No, I do not. And the government subsidizes a lot more for wind and solar. I am not for government choosing winners and losers when it comes to our energy. We need to have the free markets deciding this. And right now, our markets are going towards wind and solar because of the subsidies. I don't see that at all. I think that these industries need to be healthily competing against each other for the most reliable, efficient source of energy and the most cost effective. So, no, I'm not for subsidies at all. I think that is a four-letter word.
So on environment, you mentioned clean air and clean water. If elected to Congress, give us an example of something you would do to protect clean air, clean water, the environment.
Well, I mean, we need to protect our water. You know, right now, it's not so much even the clean part aspect of it. We're losing a lot of our water, and we need to protect our water and make sure that Denver and Los Angeles don't steal it from us. And I've done more to protect our water than my opponent ever will. Greg Walter from the director, he's a former director of the Natural Resources for Colorado. And he said that the Democrats threatened our water with the national popular vote. And I spent months to make sure we could defeat that scheme this November, so California can't steal our votes for president and steal our votes for our water. It's a very dangerous scheme that puts our resources and our water at risk. And I'm very happy to have been a part of that to get that on the ballot. You know, our energy industry, they want to do a good job. They want to be clean and resourceful, and they are even self-regulatory. We see here in Colorado that regulations have been put on the energy industry so heavily that they can't comply, and they're leaving because they're putting the same regulations on one industry that another one gets, and it just doesn't work. You can't regulate drilling for wet oil the same way you can drilling for dry natural gas. So that's just part of it.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I only have so much time I can use on the radio. So let me do one last question here. This is around terrorism. The FBI recently busted militia members who were allegedly plotting to kidnap and murder the Democratic governor of Michigan. Trump's Homeland Security Department just published a new report this month that states, quote, particular concern about white supremacist violent extremists. So what is your message to white supremacists or anyone else who wants to use violence or intimidation to shape the election outcome or resist the results of the upcoming vote count?
So there's no room or no excuse at all for any kind of violence or terrorism. And I would like to redirect that question towards members of Antifa or even BLM that we're seeing. In fact, here in Colorado, Project Veritas has just released a story about a Colorado Democrat Party executive committee member. His name is Chris Jacks, and he openly admitted that he is fine with lying, cheating, and stealing to win the 2020 elections. He's talked about just going out and randomly killing people and bringing guillotines back. So if there's anything that we need to focus on, I think it's these people who are openly admitting that this is what they said and stand for, and they are actively working in political parties to influence elections.
So you're not concerned about the Trump Homeland Security report that is worried about the white supremacist violence. That's not something that you see as big of a threat as left-wing violence.
Any violence is a threat and needs to be condemned, absolutely. I just think it's interesting that the stories usually leave one side out. There are people who have ill motives all across our country, and yet we only usually hear about a select few of them. We have a white man wanting to kill people with guillotines right here in Colorado, and everyone is ignoring it. We have a Nine News reporter who was mocking people for staying in their homes and, quote, cleaning their guns and wouldn't go into the city of Denver because they felt that it was dangerous. A Nine News reporter was mocking them for that. But then he himself hired security guards to go into Denver, and that security guard shot and killed an innocent man. I mean, this should be the talk of our state and of our country right now. And everyone is turning a blind eye to this.
Well, Congressional Candidate Lauren Boebert, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. Thank you for joining me. And obviously, I'd ask you five more questions if we had more time, but I'm only going to have a few minutes, within our regular broadcast clock anyway. So I'll post the entire interview unedited on the web. And best of luck staying safe out there on the rest of the campaign trail.
Great. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too.